listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki
Hunter. Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 13th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here.
Always glad to have you, and thank you to those that join us in the live chat. Always appreciate your contributions. And, of course, we appreciate those that take the time out of their week to catch up with us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, Dr. Vicki, you and I were talking about kind of having an open discussion, but you know, you had some nice highlights from the, and here's how checked out I've been lately, there was a congressional hearing on UAPs.
There was, and I'm really hoping we can talk more with Dr. Rick next week, because, hey, everybody, Dr. Rick is going to be joining us, and he's, you know, one of the specialists.
Mm-hmm. So, that's going to be a good one.
A UAP congressional hearing today, and a different group of testimonials being given. This is the second year in a row. If you remember last year at this time, there was the first ever, well, in many years. And so this time it was Luis Elizondo, Michael Schellenberger, Michael Gold, and Timothy Gallaudet. And prior to the hearing, they had seen a video by Jeremy Cordell of a UAP coming out of water. So, you know, it was kind of this whole discussion and, you know, what they could and couldn't talk about. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think the motivation, you know, is based on several things. One is more public disclosure, but the other is to no longer punish people for disclosing.
That's a big one.
And to, you know, kind of minimize secrecy. So they, I guess Congress is looking at passing a bill of some kind, and maybe Dr. Rick can help us out next week. But it was, I actually listened to it while I was putting a bookshelf together, a cabinet, and, you know, unpacking some boxes because I have a kitchen now. I'm glad about that. So I was listening to it, and you know, it was more of the same of last year, but different. So I know that, you know, that's not saying much, everybody. But you can catch up on YouTube if you want to watch it. It's a couple hours. Or News Nation actually has a really, what I think is a pretty good article, gleaning over what happened today. So, you know, you want to take a look if you're interested. The other thing I might mention is Netflix has a new series out, Investigation Alien, and this one again, more of the same but a different angle, because the host of this one, the investigator, is George Knapp from Vegas. Now, he is the reporter who first started writing articles about Area 51. And so he's been watching this, interviewing people for decades. And so now he has his own journey, right, from mutilations to... Now, I haven't finished watching the series. I'm on number 4 or 6, I think it is, episodes. It's just a different take, and it's... I think it's interesting. Different people that he's interviewing, that's kind of new from, you know, previous documentaries or what's out there. So, well, I mean, I appreciated that too, because, you know, kind of get tired of seeing the same old people.
So, they become like recurring characters, don't they?
Yeah, so, I mean, if it's something that you're interested in, and again, Dr. Rick has more to say about that. So, yeah, Damien is saying in the chat, David Grush said the Pentagon's got a secret UFO retrieval program. That's not new, Damien, yeah, but now they're talking about it. They're talking more openly about things.
And it's really just very impressive how much things have changed, both culturally and legally, in terms of disclosure. And like you said, a lot of it's kind of more of the same, because this pattern has been going back several years. I think it was, like, what, 6 years ago, like 2018, they had that first big conference, and they revealed a lot of footage, did a lot of stuff. I remember one of my favorite jokes from that was, I don't know, maybe Mark Maron, whomever, but he went on some social media and he posted, "Isn't it crazy? The government basically admitted that UFOs are real, but nobody cares." And that just kind of seemed to be the vibe at the time.
Yeah.
But, of course, a lot of people do care, and it is... Yeah, profound implications in what we're discovering. But, you know, this is really interesting stuff, and, you know, this is absolutely a perfect segue into discussing, you know, UFOs, aliens, and the zoo theory with Dr. Rick Teleska next week, too. So that's going to be a really good chat.
I agree. Of course, I love this topic anyway, and I'm always curious to see what is now being more openly talked about. And yes, you're right, Damien. He wrote in the chat, yeah, now they're talking about in a congressional hearing. I agree. And you know, when I started doing readings over 50 years ago, we were kind of like not popular with mainstream, Michael.
Let's
just say. A lot of us were underground. And now, of course, you know, there's one on every corner, like a church. So it's like everybody's a reader now. So it's that's what I appreciate about the times we live in, that it is slowly emerging. But you have to be really careful, people, to discern what you're led to think or believe. And even with a congressional hearing, you know, I'm trying to weed out, okay, you're talking about this, but you're not allowed to talk about that.
Right.
And the thing that bothers me about it is they're talking about the threat of UAPs. And I'm afraid, you know, Stephen Greer might have a point that, you know, we want to go into, like, this false sense of warring with aliens. It's just kind of stupid. And there's no other word for it, Michael. You know,
yeah.
So how is this a national defense, and how are we threatened, and who has this kind of technology, and what if our enemies do? And I don't appreciate that, but that's the stance that they're taking to, you know, justify more disclosure. And I don't know.
It's a very complicated thing.
I think it's so political. There's so many political agendas here that we have to be very careful in what we want to believe in this.
And, you know, I think it's important to try and make sure we all brush up on our media literacy, that we can differentiate between opinion and fact. you know, this is an opinion that somebody holds based on this, this, and this, yeah. but this is something we can point to as objective fact.
Yep.
I do agree. I assume when you say political, you're talking about geopolitics between, you know, different world powers and different vying things.
Yeah.
And that's always been a persistent thing. I don't know how much anybody in the echelons of government might know, but when you don't know, anything is possible. So there's an element I kind of get. There are a lot of times I've thought to myself, if I was the Men in Black organization and I knew something that would completely destabilize the world, would I want to tell everybody right away? Maybe I'd start to fund some movies like, you know, Men in Black to try and ease people into it.
Yeah, but, I'm sure.
And so, you know, I'm trying to look at it from different angles, but I agree. I relish the time in humanity when we can begin to move beyond tribalism. Let's do some Star Trek style stuff in here, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I get it.
No, it's so anyway, next week. That's going to be this is where the real guy gets to talk about it, because if there's anyone I believe, it's Dr.
Yeah.
Rick. So it's going to be a great program. It's
it
always
will.
A great program when Rick is on. So we're going to go into this more, UAPs, aliens, and so on. I loved the last time when he was on, we talked about artificial intelligence and the biological creations.
Yeah.
Like, that still raises my eyebrows, Michael. I get, oh my. But, so, you know, we put it out there in the chat, and what do people want to talk about tonight? And I, you know, a week ago, I had talked to Michael about fortitude.
Yeah.
You know, if we're in changing times, challenging times, difficult times, depressing times. It's the fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep going? You know, and of course, as I say that, I'm going to segue here in a minute. But Damien has said we should talk about compassion, and even Wendy wants to talk a little bit about dreams. Mm-hmm. I've been dreaming like crazy, Wendy. So we're going to get
to
that.
Actually.
Jeez, I want to hear about that, Michael.
Oh, but, I have been for a good long while, but yeah, they've been, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. A lot of my clients, too, so we'll get to that in a second. But I would like to just kind of remind people that everybody has their own ride in life.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own incarnation. And I think fortitude and gratitude go together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really believe that. I think they're partnering expressions and feelings. And like, when you feel gratitude, even if it's for the smallest thing in your day, it gives you that energy to move forward, that fortitude.
Absolutely.
And when things seem really dark, macroscopic, you know, the big scheme of things, we have to narrow it down and say, what is my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who am I? And staying true to yourself. And through that, the fortitude. It doesn't mean you have to get on pedestals or, you know, go join groups, but it may come to that, you know, for a cause or a movement. But meanwhile, it's get through it. Running away never really helps. If I can say that, I think there's times when we all need to make a big change. But I think that we have to be careful about when we're in a challenging time, whether that's an escapism or if that is really a good time for you. Like I say, everybody's got their own ride.
Oh,
they say, you know, as a matter of fact, you see, I have a, as what you all know, I have a daughter in the U.S. and married to an American. They have since bought a house up here, and he's felt it in the last couple of years. He's in his whole life, he's wanted to move to Canada, by the way, and but now it's, oh no, it's time, we're going to Canada. But it's again in their time that they'll make the move, because they still have a home in Arizona.
These things take time.
Yeah, and it's but it's not as an escapism. It's something that they've planned to do for a long time.
Right. You know, yeah. I joke about it, but yeah, I think a lot is made of the whole, you know, we're going to move to Canada kind of trip, although it's important for some people, and they do it for their own reasons, and of course that's, you know, I support it. I personally love Canada too. I've only visited a couple of times, but historically I have very much liked Canadians. Not necessarily specifically referring to you, Dr. Vicky. I'm not saying I'm not referring to you, Dr. Vicky, but I've always been very fond of Canadians. And, yeah, it's good stuff. But, it is interesting when you know history, because you can look back and you can immediately find plenty of things to be grateful for, even in, you know, hard times. And it has been a rough stretch. It's been like a rough couple of maybe like three, four, I don't know, it's been like a couple hundred, it's been a rough like 1,000 years, like a couple of 10 millennia. I don't know, it's been a rough little time.
Yeah. You know, Audra has said fortitude is an interesting trait, because mm-hmm. some people really struggle with their own mental health, and, you know, we have to help each other struggling with it. Sometimes, and I say this with all the love in my heart, people, sometimes we need a boot in the butt.
Oh, sure.
Because it's self-pity doesn't get anybody anywhere. And, you know, I've said this to many people of late, that for 50 years, really, a lot of pockets of society hasn't had that struggle, you know, that I saw when I was young.
Yeah.
And so on. So it's like the getting up in the morning and having to survive your day, like lighting a fire and, you know, how to cook your own food. And, you know, it's that takes time, and it takes a lot of physical energy.
Well, it does.
And so now we're really blessed with a lot of amenities, but we take that for granted, because now we've become really complacent in how do we survive and how do we move forward. So my point of that is, if you haven't had to work really hard, and I mean physically, and keep your mental focus, stay emotionally balanced, one of the things that got me through the hardest times, especially when I was young, and trauma and abuse, if people can survive the Holocaust, I can survive this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that sounds like a really whacked out comparison.
Oh,
but it's such an extreme kind of comparison. But it's that reality check. No matter how bad things are right now, I still have running water, mm-hmm. electricity.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have food, you know, and be okay with that. And that's what I mean by that smallest piece of gratitude. And so you get gratitude wherever it is in a day.
Absolutely.
You know, wherever
and,
you see it.
That's what I was thinking about too, you know, historically. I mean, yeah, I get it that people like to compare things to World War II and the Holocaust a lot, but it is rational to compare our current existence with that of other human beings in the past. And that is just a recent example. Life has been very bad for most of humanity for a lot of our history.
Yes,
you know, if you were a peasant in many of the medieval regions of Earth, you know, it wasn't great. There were plenty of even if there wasn't wide-scale world wars, but what you did have is just constant low-scale violence that was pretty much happening all the time. You know, bandits, highwaymen, you know, marauders, Vikings.
Yeah.
You had the Mongol invasions of the 12 and 1300s. You have the city of Baghdad, which was a center of learning. Over 500,000 people, at least, completely wiped out. Now, we're talking pyramids of skull stuff here. And this happened. People, humans experienced these things.
Yes, they did.
And not to take away.
So if somebody looks at you the wrong way and it hurts your feelings, you kind of got to suck it up,
yeah.
you know, and get on with your day and say, it's okay. Like, it doesn't matter. It's small potatoes. It's who are
yes,
you.
It's perspective, yeah. right?
And that's where we can easily tap into what Damien has suggested in compassion,
mm-hmm.
and having compassion mostly for ourselves, I might add. If you don't have compassion for yourself and that understanding that I am mortal, I'm human, and I'm learning and I'm growing,
yep.
you can't give it away.
True.
Really important.
I think we lost you.
No, I had to cough, so I muted.
Oh.
Sorry. So then it's about lending that to others and being able to see yourself in others, see this, you know, that we've all suffered in our own ways, and have a kindness in that, but also know when to pick people up, when to give them a hand, you know, being careful.
I think we had another coughing fit.
Michael. Yeah.
You okay?
I got a frog in my throat.
Uh-oh. Well,
sorry. That's because I got on a high horse and they kicked me.
You know, I completely agree with you. And I think, you know, we show ourselves compassion. And I think it's also important that we not let ourselves dehumanize other people.
Oh,
You know, we're all human. And if we're better and worse, and that means a lot of the people that you disagree with are actually in a lot of ways a lot like you. And meaning that it is very difficult to look at things as black and white a lot of times in life. But I will say that you can disagree, you have your principles, absolutely. But there is an element of otherization and dehumanization that has become persistent.
You know, it's fair enough to weed people out of your life if they're not healthy for you.
Yeah, don't tolerate toxics.
No, I mean, if it's, and I will even mention that if somebody is on the other end of the spectrum in politics, we're not going to have a lot in common. Any more than I'm going to have anything in common with a narcissist and I'm not saying far-right people are narcissists, I'm just saying that people who are abusers you know, it's so far from my reality that I can't somehow justify being really good friends in Sunday dinner. Sorry, I can't. Because what we act out, what we believe in, reflects in how we treat people.
Right.
And if you don't treat people well, lend a smile to the clerk, the cashier, the waitress, then we're not having dinner together. I mean, I'll still talk to you if we're at work or different places, but I'm not going to be unkind.
Well, of course.
But we're not going to have dinner together. That's my point.
And fair enough. And that's, you know, I think we all have that right. And I will reflect on something we talked about either last week or the week before. Tolerance does not mean you have to love something. You have to accept its right to exist.
Yep.
And the thing I get scared about when we have a lot of dehumanizing language is that when you dehumanize something, you have a Holocaust. You have a moment where you otherize and you say, they're not like me. They're not quite, you know, human. Like, they're not my kind of human. And I'm being very kind of simplistic. I'm being very, you know, paint with there's nuance to everything. But I will say it is a dangerous road. I don't care for it. And we all can be showing compassion to each other. You know, we, again, don't have to like it, but we tolerate each other. And we get along because it makes the world a better place.
Yep.
So that's, and very, very narrow path to walk on this topic. So we'll go ahead and move on. We'll go ahead and move on. But, you know, it is, it's always important to kind of keep your eye on that hope. You know we stay fortitude. We use fortitude to kind of get through challenging times, which will happen to everybody in their course of their life. And it is that kind of mental toughness. It is that resilience that allows us to push forward. And one last thing I wanted to say on this is, you know, I think, what was it, Abraham Lincoln that said something along the lines, and I'm deeply paraphrasing, that anybody can endure suffering, anybody can survive this, that, or the other, but you want to test somebody's real character, you know, you give them power. And I think about that in another way, too. You know, let's be kind to people when we do have that power. But I also think about, you know, anybody can survive and endure, but who are we going to be at the end of that? That quote made me think about this next idea, which is, yes, we will endure. Yes, we will survive. Who are we going to be on the other side? And will we like that version of us that did survive? You know, I'm thinking about making the conscious choices to kind of hold on to who we are and that be part of our resilience too, you know?
Well, something that I've always said to myself is, can I live with myself? And this is stuff I feel like I have to answer for when I leave this world. So, even if it's in my own consciousness, So it's at a spiritual level. So just doing the best I can with what I have at the time and what I know at the time, because we're always knowing more greater.
Right? Yeah.
So I appreciate Damien said in the chat, Mama said, never talk about religion, politics, or economics over dinner. You know, for me, it was never talk about religion, politics, or kids. Ever. It doesn't matter if it's dinner.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You talk about those things with your friends when you're having a drink and stuff like that. But, and you know, here's the other thing. I'm a very hard person to offend, really. You know, I love getting into it and having, you know, deep discussions and playing around with things, but I have to remind myself that not everybody likes to argue all the time. It's just one of my quirks. But, yeah, so that's kind of, I think it's a good point. I think compassion is key. Remember, we all share a common humanity. And remember that humanity can be a lot of things. And humanity can be rough. It can be bad. It can be brutal, just like nature can be. But humanity, just like nature, can be wonderful and beautiful and inspiring. Yep. And I think that empathy is humanity's greatest trait. You see it in the animal kingdom a lot, too. But our empathy is almost a superpower. And it is the source for our morality. It is the ability to understand how something else might feel.
Yep.
So keep that in mind, too. And those are my 2 cents.
Well, I'll put in a quarter for that, Michael. All right. You know, we're going to segue. Let's just turn the page here and talk about dreams for a minute, because I've talked to a lot of people who have been dreaming like crazy. So I would like to address it in a couple of ways, everybody. The first of all, from a general psychological point of view, we are inundated with information.
Yeah.
Inundated, exponentially inundated. That plays on the psyche. And so we all have to appreciate that none of us is exempt from our brains being overcrowded with little men running around, you know, putting in files in the library, you know, and filing things here and there. And so our brains are working really hard to figure things out and sort information. We're also affected physically, you know, in our bodies and emotionally. So this will play out in the dream state. So there's that side that we have to be really grounded and sensible about. If we're having dreams that don't make sense and they're all over the place, I think it's reflective of the kind of world that we're living in. Now, my late mentor, Magda, would say, dreams are hopes, fears, and prophecies. Well, the world has changed. The air was clearer then, Michael, back in the day.
And the air?
Yeah, everything was clear back there. Yeah. The energy was clear. We didn't have this population. We didn't have, you know, mass media and social media.
True enough.
We didn't have,
emotionally,
you know,
speaking, yeah.
We didn't have all that. You got your local newspaper, listened to the radio, and watched news for half an hour. That was it. It was a different time. Now we have everything. So it plays on our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
But the flip side of this, and again, I'm going to take this to a spiritual level. I believe, because this is the world I come from, so I can only speak from myself, that I believe we live on simultaneous levels as well. There's multiple dimensions of space-time.
Oh, yeah.
And
I believe that.
The air is, like, the veils are thinning between the worlds. So we're getting information, like having dreams that could be familiar characters, but not really, and then a completely different profession, or, you know, that's son instead of the father, and all the weird scenarios that start happening, it could very well be that kind of bleeding through those different dimensions. And so what I've told people, because I've several clients lately have been doing the same thing, and I say, please don't try to make sense of them. don't rack your brains out. Don't bother.
Yeah.
I think that when some things are chaos, there's no making sense of it. You just kind of ground yourself as well as you can.
Right.
And get up in the morning, kind of give yourself a bit to meditate, shake it off, and know that you might need more sleep than usual these
right.
days. And so rather than if you're used to getting 6 or 7 hours, you might need 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to make up for that time. And it's not uncommon for people who are dreaming like this to wake up at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can just wake up, acknowledge the time, take a breath, you know, have a drink of water maybe, and say, no, I'm going back to sleep. You know, it's you need the sleep because your body also needs to rest, and whatever is going on in the brain needs to assimilate.
Right.
So we have to be kind to ourselves that way. But my advice right now is don't try to figure it out. Just leave it alone. Write it out. I see repeating numbers all the time. Today it was 11:11, 2:22, 3:35, and oh. Yesterday was the same, and I think that's part of the download of something else going on.
Yeah.
But psychologists would have a different take on it. So, Damien says, yeah, usually in the morning that's when the bathroom's calling. That's usually what happens, Damien. Wendy says too. So, write it out and think of it as a mystery. That we're in a mysterious kind of time and be curious about what's going to happen next and how is this going to play out. And kind of, how can you play your role in it to the best of your ability? So, you know, it's like, what's your part going to play in a day?
Yeah. You know, makes me think about, you know, it's not that, it's not what is the meaning of life, it's what is the meaning of your life, what is the purpose of your life, you know, what's your role in this life going to be. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say if there's some dreams that you remember more than others, or some dreams that, you know, maybe you want to write little notes, maybe you want to mm-hmm. keep a little diary of them, and just kind of... see if there's any kind of pattern to them. I think you're just going to find they're random and just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't sweat them anymore. Just kind of say, well, that was weird.
Yeah, really? And, I mean, and you know, what I want to say on this is I've always felt that for complex things, there is never any one reason why we do it. I think there are many reasons why we do it. I think there are many reasons why we dream. I think
yeah.
that a lot of it is simply that our mind is a biochemical computer that needs to process data. I think some of it is yeah. the universe talking to us. I think some yeah. of it is us talking to ourselves. And I think it's everything in between and much, much more than that. So I think, yeah, when you have something that's especially confusing, if you don't have a practical purpose to it, you can't dwell on it. And Dr. Vicky, your advice is golden. So those are my two cents on that, which I think it makes me up to 4 cents on this one so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Michael. I think this is the time of the evening. And again, everybody, I think we should have Dr. Mike on the program again very soon, the weeks to come. You know, he has met Luis Elizondo, can't speak, prior when he's been at the MUFON convention, and maybe he's got some thoughts on some worldly stuff going on too. So, you know, Dr. Mike, we always value what you have, you know, to offer and your take on things, so that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be good. So
yeah.
We'll have to hear back from him, fingers crossed. But we're going to have some good conversations, and I think, you know, it's interesting. We talked about aliens last week. We talked about aliens a little bit this week, and it's going to be up again, but there's always room for so much more because space is infinite, and there's so many different possibilities. But But it is that time of the night, and we're going to be drawing some cards. So I know Dr. Jerry had thrown her name in early on, so and we have one for her. But just because I think we have some new, or at least newer folks tonight, I'm going to be drawing a card from the ICMH Inner Oracle deck. You can see that on the main Metaphysics website. And I get to read from a nice little guidebook, a little message. Hopefully it makes sense to you. And Dr. Vicky, you're going to pull a tarot card.
Yeah, we'll see how they speak.
Good
so,
stuff.
We've got quite a few names you have to hear. Michael, we better get to it. So first one is Jerry, obviously.
Jerry, you have number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, Jerry, you might feel like you have some decisions to make. At least you might feel that way. But really, it's as Michael said, you know, it's with the Two of Spades there. I always call that one of the back cards. It's like going on radar. You feel like you got a decision, but it's just going on your intuition. So it's like collect all your spirits, take a breath, center yourself, and I want to say to you, see how things unfold. So, yeah, that's the best I got for you on that one, Jerry.
We got a little bit of a repeat there on that Inner Oracle card. Got that on April 3rd and October 23rd. And now we're on the 13th. Got some threes popping up.
We have a newcomer here. Donna is with us, so let's see what we got for Donna.
Donna, I have number 29, pay it forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now? Good.
This is odd. This is, well, I love that message, but this is odd in that the King of Spades, and I said, well, what's up with the King of Spades? And then it's the rebirth next to that. It could be that, okay, I'm going to go way out on a limb, Michael. It could be that you've had an angst with someone, and I get that male energy. If there's been some kind of, you know, issue that you've had with someone, it's about being true to yourself and kind of checking in with your frustration and kind of have a refresher moment in your thinking, being true to yourself. That's kind of what I want to say. So I think in this way, it's pay it forward to yourself. You know, because there is that part too. So it's about giving that extra little bit of something to you, that extra kindness to yourself, Donna, and giving yourself the benefit of doubt. I know that sounds weird, Michael, but that's where I'm going with that one. I hope it makes sense to Donna.
Let's go with it. I love it.
All right. We have Danelle next.
Danelle, for you, I have inspiration, motivation, number 45. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration, leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with vigor of positive energy.
And with that Seven of Spades, you know, very often I see that as making away with more than you expected or more you anticipated. You know, equally, it could be somebody's taking away from you, but here it's paired with inspiration, motivation. So if you're inspired, get motivated, put your energy forward, get creative, and I think this will go better than you expect, you know. And it could be something that you've wanted to do for a while, a change that you've wanted to make, or some kind of creativity. So I think that go for it. That's what I say.
And go for it is a good message.
Yeah. We have Damien next.
Damien got the D's going here. So, Damien, you are up with number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avail, and wisdom to know when to slow down, to assess correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Well, having said that, you've got abundance. So that Nine of Cups is exactly what Michael said. Know when to move forward and know when to hold back. So if you wake up in the morning and say, oh, today's not the day, then it's not the day. It could be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Say, okay, now's the time. So it's really important to pay attention to how you feel about an action or a movement of some kind. So I think you're on to something, that things are now moving forward in your life, Damien. But it's, again, you have to watch out for intuition. We can have an intuition about something, but we also have to let the play unfold. Just because you might think you know what's going to happen doesn't mean all the other characters don't have a part to play. So people have to be ready for you at that moment. Think of it as a juncture in time, space. So that's the best way I can explain that. So you got some really cool things going on, Damien.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. We have Brad.
Brad.
And Brad, for you, I have wild card number 2 and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. And by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Well, Brad, this, it just, you know, that Five of Spades and then some. You know, sometimes, Michael, you just feel like you're spent. You know? It's like, oh, man, I don't have any more energy for this.
I mean, personally, I don't, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But you do. And it's that, it's like coming into the end of the challenge, like meeting the challenge and where it pays off and like it's over. So I feel like if you're working on something or you've, you know, been struggling with something, up against something, that could even be at work, Brad, you know, in the job department, it's, I want to say, hang in there and give it the and then some. And I think you're going to see the rewards like in ways you couldn't have imagined. So.
I like it.
Yep.
All right.
Jeff. Dr. Jeff.
Dr. Jeff, I have for you number 22, think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, I kid you not, 2 came out at the same time, Jeff. The moon, there's always a mystery, and the 9 of diamonds. So that thinking for yourself, you know, you can sit down with a business manager of the bank and he said, this is a good time, that's not a good time, but you know what's a good time. Like you have an insight or a feeling about something, and the moon is saying that there is a mystery here, a revealing of other events, so or what's going on. But that 9 of diamonds is that comfort of home, that comfort of work, that like being in your garden of life. So I want to say that it's not don't necessarily take the advice of others, and I don't mean your wife. Don't get me in trouble here. It's not your wife. Like other people, the outside people, it's being, think for yourself and know the path for you. So stay true to you. I think it's really cool.
All right. We have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next. And again, to those that might not know, Wendy does track cards that we pull in our Oracle cards and see if there's patterns there. And for our card keeper tonight, I have number 35. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
You know, if I recall, and again, I don't remember the cards exactly, but I remember the essence of some things. And Wendy, I feel like you've been getting a lot of philosophical moments in your cards in the last few weeks. So that one planet, one destiny, and the Fool is, you're seeing a big picture, but what is your start place? You know, it's that new beginning for yourself with new information. So it's like seeing the same thing differently, and it allows you an opportunity. Yeah, she agrees with me. She's writing in the chat. I would say that even whatever you're doing and already have been doing, it's you're getting new information. It's integrating that into your work or into your life in some way. So it's this, every day is kind of like a new start point for you. It's, you're on a roll. It might get you feeling a little tired from time to time, but you're on a roll here. So keep going. Ride the train. Up and down through the mountains, Wendy.
Plow ahead. Good stuff. All right. And for Audra, I have number 33, preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
You know, I love preference over principle. It keeps me in check all the time, Michael. makes me quieter than usual, too. You know that? Anyway, at least the way I used to be. So preference and principle, Audra, with the Six of Clubs, is picking your spots carefully and knowing even when you have an opinion, and it's just an opinion. It's not even a principle, even opinion. Be careful and know your spots of when you can contribute that. And with the Six of Clubs, it's like you're assured in better communications, better relations, and how people view you. So that's what came to me on that. Preference, principle, but still sharing an opinion or a take on things can serve you well. As long as you state, it's just my opinion. So that's what I think. A situation might arise there.
All right.
We have another newcomer.
I believe Vienna. So. Yeah, and I think you're our last card of the evening as well. I'm just calling to see if I missed anybody. But for you tonight, I have number 6, Boundaries. Very important card. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and not overstep or encroach their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Hmm. So, two cards flipped out, Rihanna. One is the 9 of Spades and the other is the Chariot. And again, at risk of trespassing on something that might be too personal, you may have had a disappointment lately, or like whenever I see that 9 of Spades, I always think of a wet heart, you know, some grieving or some sadness or something there with boundaries. Maybe it's a learning of what boundaries are and, you know, feeling a sadness of letting go or moving forward. You know, we're always kind of in the past a bit, you know. But this Chariot is moving forward. It's like you've got, yeah, look, think truly, it's a literal in the right of way, where the charioteer has, you know, the with the phoenixes, the white one and the black one, so it's a balance of energy. So think of yourself in a chariot with a white horse and a black horse. You've got this, a good balance of energy, and moving forward. You know, some things, you know, some things in life we're always sad about, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we, you know, it's just you have a memory of it and you just feel a moment of sadness, but you're still getting on with your life. And that's kind of what I feel in learning some of those boundaries, Rihanna. So I hope that makes sense to you.
All right.
All right.
I think that about does it.
Yeah. And we're getting on in time here, too. We sure flew through that one, didn't we?
We did. But it's only been 50 minutes. I mean, sometimes we go 60, 70 easy. But
I know. Well, I appreciate our newcomers. Thank you for joining us. And I really hope you all be here next week, because it's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Very much
well,
will.
Just because I'm excited, I think you all should be excited, too.
Well, to be fair, I mean, we are always right, and we're excited, so that means it's right to be excited. So,
thanks for the feedback, Rihanna. Thanks to the others with the feedback in the chat also.
Yeah.
You know, for those who listen in the archives, if you ever get a chance to join us, great conversations and great cheerleading that goes on, you know, for each other. And we, you know, we're just a really good group of people who are curious and investigative and, you know, working on being better human beings. So there you go.
Absolutely. I think, you know, if I had to say one attribute that is the most defining, curiosity.
Yes.
And the most important, you know, hold on to that curiosity. I think that's going to be my final word of the night. No matter what happens, no matter, you know, what you go through in life, just try and hold on to that curiosity. It is all important. But
Michael, I have something to say.
Uh-oh.
Audra just said in the chat, she says, I got to share that last week was rather accurate. I actually got a call back about a job I had been interviewing for and got the job offer Friday afternoon. And as long as everything clears, she'll be starting in 2 weeks.
That is awesome.
Congratulations.
That is awesome. I said, uh-oh, but it's not uh-oh. That's awesome news and brought a smile to my face. So we're all very excited for you.
Good for you, Audra.
Very, very happy for you. Congratulations.
So it's not just bad news we share here. You
know? Come on. I say it's mostly not bad news. I mean, come on. I talked about a human pile of skulls, you know, maybe once tonight. That's hardly anything. But but it's a great group. You know, so thankful for you guys. So appreciative. Yeah. And, it is that time of the evening, though, so we're going to wrap up. And, you know, before I sign off, any last thoughts or points on the topic?
Oh, don't let them push you around out there, people. You know, just stay true to you.
Absolutely.
And don't run any red lights.
Oh, you know, within context. Unless, you know, you're running from aliens, outrunning an assassin, or rushing somebody to the hospital.
I don't run from aliens.
Well, it depends on the alien. You don't know.
I need a holiday.
This is true. Well, with that, we'll be talking much more about aliens and the possible zoo hypothesis. Are we being observed? So we're going to talk about that next week with Dr. Rick Teleska. Please join us then. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.